Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 47 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Shifting Atmospheres, Working with Angels, Part 8. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this day. And we thank you, O God, for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I'm asking and praying for the special revelation that can only come from heaven, asking for the revelation that that only your spirit of wisdom can give. And Lord God, this is truly this is a building of brick and mortar, but what we're asking for is that of spirit to fill these houses, and that these houses will be filled with your spirit, that we might perform and come into alignment with who we're going to be and not who we've been. So help us, oh God, to walk and run towards you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, this is actually, it's lesson 47. I'm almost tempted just to change the name. So, 47? How do you speak 47? I'm like, boy, Alan, you must be long-winded or something. But I do not take any credit for it. I blame it all on the Holy Spirit. I hope that's okay. I'm sure some of it's been a little bit of flesh in there, but I'm trusting the Holy Spirit has been the author of most of it. And the idea here is in unlocking the, if I have a little bit of a mission in life, it is to unlock the prophetic spirit. The prophetic being, it's where the word of God hits the earth in the second, in the moment. It takes the words that's on the written page and speaks it to the earth as we are vessels of his kingdom. So in lesson 47, the scribe in unlocking the prophetic, we're now on number 5, which is hope, the ultimate atmospheric shift to work with the angels. And I've been on that for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to bring you now into the spiritual understanding of what happens. My experience in life is that we have words and terminology, and it sounds wonderful to the mind, but yet we don't experience it in life. And I feel as though part of my mission on planet Earth is to preserve the Word of God. And part of the preservation of the Word of God is it's the way it's preserved is in through His people. It's not preserved here, even though, because it's in his people, the written word will be preserved. But the preservation of God's word is really in God's people. It's in our hearts. It's in us. And so I'm like on a life mission to take it from our heads and get it into our hearts, because it's in the heart that it's preserved. And so with the heart of preservation of the word of God, we're hoping that it'll go from something that we know to hopefully something that we can experience. And I'm not saying we have to experience everything in the book to believe it, because surely I believe in Jonah and the whale, and I don't think I've got to be swallowed by a whale to have that experience. But yet, there's a lot of these things in the scriptures that are experiential that causes it to be preserved. And so when we have the house and turn this into a house of prayer at the end of the preaching service, it's that prayer and people encountering the reality of the Spirit of God. We don't want the Spirit of God to be something we're talking about here all the time at this church. We want it to be something that people can experience, and we are not trying to talk everybody's brain into it. Can you hear me? We're not trying to talk people into a spiritual experience, because then you will have a false spiritual experience. Now, there's something wrong. I don't mind if people are waiting on a spiritual experience with God. But I'm very concerned if you have a false experience with God. And the reason is you'll stop waiting. You'll think, okay, well, this is it. And then you'll think, well, this really isn't true. It's something that somebody's just made up, and they're trying to talk my brain into it, and it's not reality. Now, our mind already doesn't want to align with it. And you can say to yourself, well, Alan, I've tried it, and it doesn't work. Well, the problem is it's not over till it's over, and it ain't over yet. Right? I was told that I had 3 months to live one time when I was 37 years old. But the truth is, it ain't over till it's over. And it ain't over. So our concept of God not moving on our behalf needs to be something that's not entertained. Once we start down the avenue of God not working on our behalf, then we have left the realm of trusting God. So we are to trust God. Now, I'm not saying that everything in life's turned out like you thought it would. Of course, it hasn't. The only thing that's been consistent in life is that nothing has turned out like any of us thought it would. Right? I don't know why we made plans for happily ever after, because my ever after, I can be happily ever after, but my ever after didn't end up where I thought. I mean, I didn't wake up every morning of my teenage life wishing to milk cows at 3 o'clock in the morning. That wasn't a great aspiration. So, but yet I find that in my life, it wasn't until my mid-40s and I had a dream and the angel of the Lord told me that I would be milking cows when I met him. I thought, oh no. Well, there went all my great ideas. I was going to be president of the United States and do a lot of things. Well, it just went out the window because I knew I'd be milking cows when I met the Lord. So if you want to know what I'll be doing, that's what I'll... Am I have any great ideas to do other things? Well, I'd like to do a lot of other things, but I will be milking cows when I leave this planet, for better or worse. So all of us are in this situation where life, it's like life gives us life. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but for everyone, life is hard. It will beat you down. Yes, it will. I'm not going to give you some spiritual answer. It will beat you down. It will wear the daylights out of you. So it almost, you can bet your booties on this one. If God created the 7 days, he created it to wear you out. And the sooner we come to being worn out, there is a world on the other side of it. Amen. Now, with that said, it's this atmospheric change of hope. Now, hope is a, I've said all that to say this, hope is a spiritual experience. Hope is a spiritual experience. True hope is a spiritual experience. Now, I can warm up trying to have hope in my brain, so I'm going to have hope because I know it's a biblical idea. And I know if I have faith that it's substance of things hoped for. And we roll these words around in our brains over and over and over, thinking that it has become part of our reality. Truth not exercised is not truth. Truth is truth when it's exercised. I mean, it's truth in your brain, but I mean, what good is that? So we have hope. Hope, true biblical hope is not a reality until true biblical hope is exercised. Now, that's easy to say, but how do you get there? I can tell you to have hope, and I have not given you enough information. Everybody wants to have hope. There's not anybody... I can't talk you into having hope. Everybody wants to have, there's not many people that do not, the hopeless still looking for it. So people want to have hope, they just don't know how to get there. Now I use the terminology spiritual science. There's a spiritual science to what you can't see. There is a spiritual science to hope. Well, let's move on, lest I talk myself to death. This is a little, each week I send out a little proverb. I have ladies there in the office. They're very faithful to put it together. My daughter, one of my daughters pulls up these, I don't know where in the world she finds all of these pictures, but she finds them somewhere to match them to the proverb. But But the proverb was this: wisdom is the operating system in which hope is given to others. Even though we seek after wisdom, it tends to find us more than we find it. It seems, however, that we have to seek for it before it finds us. Now, I know that's a little complicated, but I want you to think about it. It seems, however, that we must seek it before it finds us. Seeking is more of an alignment, say alignment. Alignment, an act of humility, a confession of needing to learn. Wisdom says, wisdom is, I called it here more of an operating system. Does wisdom in you not say that people need hope? I mean, wisdom says everything to the same, to everybody. It's in you, the wisdom that's in you says that people need hope. I've had people say, well, Alan, I want more wisdom. And this is what I've said to them. I said, well, you don't really find wisdom. Wisdom finds you. And what I mean by that is, what you align yourself with is what finds you. There's some things of the Spirit finds you. You don't find it. Now, your input is yes or no. See, God didn't entrust us with a whole lot. Does anybody not know God found you? That's right. Now, you had to say yes or no to Him, right? But He found you. Now, all wisdom comes from God now. So everything else with God is, it's trying to find you. The key is you don't want to stay hidden from Him. Sin, like in the garden, is a fig leaf. It covers you in the spirit world. You cannot be found by wisdom. So by alignment, everybody in here went to school. What is the shortest distance between two points? A what? Straight line. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Now, I know we've been somewhat conditioned by our flesh that we think God takes a long time when He does things. God has the shortest way to accomplish all truth in the universe. Let it never be said God's slow. Let it be said that man's slow and God's fast. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. God says, walk the straight and narrow. When you start seeing the prophetic term straight in a depth, you start getting it prophetically what He's meaning. When you speak straight to somebody prophetically, that's the shortest way to get them from point A to point B. That's just the way it is. You might want to take them over here and take them over there and take them over there so you don't hurt their feelings. You might do it that way, but it's going to take you forever. If you take too long, they might miss their bus. So prophetically speaking, you start learning that God operates in straightness. To walk straight and upright doesn't mean that you're prideful because how good you are. Straight and upright means you walk straight between two points in life. You don't beat around the bush. Yes is yes and your nay is nay. It's a straight line. The straight and narrow is all about alignment. If I want to align myself if I got a telescope and I want to align my telescope with a star, It's in a straight line. It's called alignment. Always remember, alignment is a straight line. The enemy, darkness, is all about non-alignment. Confusion, deception, none of that's a transparent straight line. Just remember, if you want to move faster in life, you must align yourself with point A and point B. If you feel like you're moving too slow in life, it's because you're going to too many places before you get to your destination. Alignment in life takes no manipulation. When you're trying to get to point A to point B and it takes 10 different relationships, you have to hoodoo 5 of them and pay off the other 3. It's not a straight line. Take you forever. It's called deception. It's called the world. It's called the flesh. It's called the devil. As a prophetic people, remember, God, the prophetic words of God is all about alignment. Now, with that in mind, and you'll understand this little proverb, it tends to find us more than we find it. You see, God in God's kingdom is looking on the earth for intercessors. It's looking on the earth whom it can speak to and empower to bring God's kingdom. But you have to align your hope with heaven. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, let's move. Alignment is the key that unlocks hope. I told you, hope is a spiritual experience. It's a spiritual experience. You can have fleshly hope, and you can have spiritual hope. Spiritual hope comes. Spiritual hope doesn't go. Spiritual hope comes through wisdom, which comes from God's kingdom. I can't have wisdom, but I can align myself with God's kingdom, which is a straight line, and it will find me. That's how you get a prophetic word. You can go up, you can say, well, God says, go over here, I want you to give a word to somebody and say, God, I don't know what, God, give me something, God. Well, he will on your way over.
Yeah.
Or you might even get there, not be clueless. But it'll come. Why? Because you aligned yourself with heaven. That word of wisdom finds you. You don't find it. If it was you, listen. Wisdom, the Spirit of Christ, wisdom is that voice of the Holy Spirit in which tells you the timing to apply truth. See, there, truth applied at the wrong time can bring death instead of life. Uh-oh. Now, I know I get emails on this one. If you plant corn in December, you've heard me say it some of you. If you plant corn in December an inch and a half deep, you can do all these things right, and that corn will sprout and it'll die. Well, the truth is, I planted it right, but I planted it in the wrong season. Right? So truth, it takes wisdom from heaven, so you'll know the season in which it's time to plant the corn. A lot of people just want to go out here and spout out God's truth and think it's going to do some good. I'm like, oh my land, what in the world? Somebody's wasting a bunch of good seed. You see, the wisdom of God was when you align yourself with heaven, he'll tell you when to move. You don't move just because it's a good idea. The worst thing you can do is to spend time with people that don't want to receive what you got to say. It's fruitless. Then you say, well, they're just hard-hearted. No, well, God didn't tell you to go to start with. God prepares the heart before you go. He got there before you did. Come on, somebody. You guys got to be aligned with heaven so you know when to move. And then when you move, you talk straight. You deliver the mail. Don't add to it. Just don't. It's amazing how we got to go explain God. It's who can do that? Who can explain God? Now, alignment is the key that unlocks hope. Now, here's alignment. It's an arrangement in a straight line or in correct or appropriate relative positions. Alignment is a straight line which is correct and appropriate. That's alignment. It's a position of agreement or alliance. Wow. So when I come into alignment with the kingdom of heaven, listen, if I had any type of disease or anything right now, I'd be at this church getting prayer. Because we are in a season of praying for the sick. You say, well, Alan, I thought we was always supposed to do that. The only thing I can tell you is we're in that season to pray for the sick. Do I think we'll always do it? I don't know. But good chance we won't. When this season's passed, we'll go on to picking blackberries or something. I don't know what we'll do. We'll go to the next season. That's all I can tell you. So if I had some disease or sick, I'd be right here in these prayer pods. You don't have to wait till the preacher. Just go on back there and sit down. I'd have my seat. Dare anybody to get it. That's the season that we're in. We are trying to align ourselves with heaven out of obedience of this season. So it's a position of agreement or alliance. So we are prophetically coming into agreement with the kingdom of heaven. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? I shudder when I say it, but I say it with all boldness. Because it's just the truth. I mean, presidents can't pull that one off. Now, that's what it says in Romans. Now, I can tell you to have hope. You can tell anybody to have hope. That's fine, but how do I get it? Do not be conformed, the word means aligned, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So when I'm aligned with the kingdom, I can know these things. Is the Bible true or is it a liar? It's true. If I can know these things, how do I do it? Number one, it tells me what not to do. Do not be conformed or do not align yourself with this world. Everybody got that one. But be ye what? Transformed. Now let's look at it like this. We got two words to look at here so we can hear from heaven. The two words are conformed and transformed. So we got two words going on here. And it just so happens we get these two confused, or for some reason we think they're the same word. And it's not. It's two different. They do sound a lot alike, but they are two different words with two different meanings. We're going for hope. We're wanting hope. Hope is a supernatural experience of exercising true faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm just wanting to introduce you to this thought. Hope is an experience. When you get a supernatural hope, it'll make you giddy all over. Sometimes it makes your eyes leak. Sometimes it just makes you shake all over. Sometimes it'll make you run around the room sound like a choo-choo train. That boy went from Satanism to heaven within about 3 seconds flat. It'll make you choo-choo. Why? He had hope. Hope is an experience. Another experience is God's love. It's words. But if you experience it, the experience is the experience. Now, conformed and transformed. Let's move on. To conform means an imitation. Uh-oh. So, if you conform to this world, you, at best, you're just in temp, you're imitation. At the best. The word conform means to fashion oneself according to or to form oneself to another's pattern. I want you to get this. The Bible is not telling you to conform to Christ. That's religious spirit. Now, stay with me. Online, don't send me an email yet. Stay with me. He said, don't conform, but transform. All right, now, when I stay with me. The Greek word for conform is, there it is. It looks a little lot like schizophrenic to me, but, and is a derivative of the word what? Schema, which is where we get the word schism. So to conform to this world or to be conformed means that you take who you are and you mold it and form it around another. That's what conform. And it's not only that, it's somewhat of a schism. In other words, it's manipulative. It is. Is anything about schism sound good to you? No, it doesn't. Schism sounds like anything but a straight line to me. Now, which comprises everything in a person, which strikes the senses, a figure, bearing, discourse, actions, manner of life. That's what to conform means. When we conform to the world, we attempt to outwardly model what we see or perceive to be the lifestyle of those who walk in darkness. Now, taking it a step further, you're also not to conform to look like a little Jesus and walk around and try to do miracles and all this stuff because you have taken yourself religiously and conformed yourself into Christ. You can't do that. Stay with me. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Let me give you some synonyms for conform. They are to yield to this. You agree with. You consent. I've got some friends and I, all the time they're trying to bring the world into the church and say, well, now, Alan, I think we carry it. Well, now, only thing I can tell you is you're not walking in the Spirit. You're trying to conform the Christianity to the to what something else. Anytime you're trying to conform something, it's not of the kingdom of God. God doesn't conform you. He transforms you. Somebody say, glory, hallelujah. You see, the completion of the born-again experience, you've heard me say this, is when you get your new body. I don't have mine yet, but I'm going to have one. When I get it, I have been fully transformed.
Yes, Jesus.
Right?
Yes.
That's what it's in this book here. Now, what's another synonym? To correspond. You say, well, Alan, I'm, yeah, okay, I, yeah. Keep me on track, y'all. Keep me prayed in here now. I'll get off on you. You adapt to. You adjust to. You accommodate. This is what the Bible says. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now listen, I'm not trying to make you into a pretty Christian. I'm trying to help. I want to present to you something to consider on how to have a true supernatural hope. I'm not saying you don't have any. I'm just saying we need a little more than we got. Does anybody bear witness with that? Need a little more than we got. Now, well, that's what conform looks like. Let's look at a nonconformist. Is one who refuses to conform as to establish customs, attitudes, or idea. Some synonyms for the word nonconformist are dissenter, dissonant, individualist, or a loner. That's what a nonconformist is. So you got some people who want to conform to the world, right? Then you got a nonconformist. Let me look at this one. Jesus was a nonconformist. He wasn't going to conform. He didn't conform. He wasn't going to conform. He just didn't do it. It's in Matthew 5:38. He did not allow the ideas of his day to change who he was and what he came to do. Now, here's the deal. I've spoke to you several weeks ago on knowing who you are in Christ. Knowing who you are, you're not who somebody else says you are, and that might even be a good thing. Right? You as an individual have to know who you are. If you're scared of that, it's okay. You still got to find out who you are. If you're trying to live up to being the best mother in the world, the best father, or I'm supposed to do this, or I'm supposed to do that, I mean, it's all right to do those things, but you got to find out who he sent you here to be. That's the issue. The number one issue when God sent you here was what he sent you here to do. His main mission is not to sit in heaven and make you happy. Yes. Say, Alan, I already knew that. Well, you didn't, did you? That's not it. There's a difference in that and being fulfilled in being in your destiny. Two different things.
Jesus.
Now, transform means a change. You got conform, transform. The word transform in the Greek is metamorpho. Y'all know it means to change into another form. So if you're trying to transform some part of who you are, quit it. Quit it. Quit it. Can you hear me? Quit it. God wants to transform you. There's a difference. When we are transformed, it is not something we can do ourselves. There you go. I just freed up 75% of your life right there. You can't do it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Everybody go, wow. See, that means you can rest. The enemy of being transformed is us trying to conform. That's right. The enemy to God is good. In the garden was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Not just evil, but good and evil. You've heard it said, well, how good's good if God didn't want you to know it? You say, well, Alan, what's the deal? He wanted them to know the tree of life. God didn't want them to know good and evil. You try to conform yourself into somebody that's good, and you know what you got? Not a whole lot. But you can be transformed. Listen, I'm trying to help us to get aligned. If you're conformed, you can't get that baby aligned. You just waste a lot of time. I'm sorry. Just throw it away. You just waste a lot of time. We got to transform. Now, I'm going to go on. I'm going to help you here. I hope. All he needs is our surrender. And he can and will complete the transformation in us. Now, underline surrender in your cotton-picking brain. Surrender. Now, you need to be careful who you surrender to. Surrender is a spiritual move. Surrender is a spiritual move. The English word transform comes from two words. Trans, which means to cross over. Okay, you've heard of transcontinental flights. Trans means to cross over. Form, transform means from. So that means to be transformed means I'm moving across from something to something. Right? It's a movement. The Greek word for transform, of course, is metamorpho. It is the origin of our English word, metamorphosis, which describes a complete change of form, substance, and or structure. Metamorphosis is what a caterpillar undergoes when it becomes a butterfly. You've heard me talk about that before in this teaching series. A butterfly has to be, there's not anything in, when a caterpillar does a cocoon and all and does all that, The caterpillar kind of melts into a soup. Kind of yucky, isn't it? There's not anything in there. There's one thing in there that's in that caterpillar. And that's the DNA of a butterfly. And it's just one cell. And that transforms it into a completely different... All of the other DNA is not even the same. Totally different DNA. When we're transformed, our DNA changes. You don't conform, you transform. Now, the reason I'm wanting to get this into prophetic people is if there's an area in your life that's not transforming, I want you to be aware that you might be trying to conform it. And you just need to say, oh, okay, God, I've been trying to conform that thing. Will you please transform it? I dare you, I dare you, I dare you. I dare you. I prayed for a lady here the other day, and she said she wanted to quit smoking. And I went up to pray for her, and I said, are you sure? When we pray, things will transform. Now, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. That word right there is metamorphosis. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Listen. I prayed for this lady to quit smoking. I said, do you want to quit smoking? I'm going to be honest with you. If she had said, well, I'd kind of like to, I'd say, well, good luck. And I'd have turned around and walked off. And that's true. I'm sorry, but I would have. The reason is I know it's not going to happen. You say, well, Alan, listen, y'all, come on, somebody. Unless you're afraid of going to hell, you're not going to pray for heaven. Until you're sick of smoking or dope or drinking, until you're sick of it. I had a friend of mine, he's dead now. He had a rehab place in Florida called Dunklin. And his old man, I sat and talked with him. Real good friends are Ron Ross's. His name's Mickey Evans. And I sat there with him. He'd do some interviews and make me shudder. Ron knows what I'm talking about. Ron's probably watching now. Make you shudder. He's hard on them. My land is hard on them. Well, I thought you need to hug a little more than that. He had about over 200 men in the program there of drugs and alcohol rehab. The success rate was greater than any in the nation. That's one place that he taught me. He said, Alan, you got to walk, talk straight. You talk straight. You got to line. You got to go shortest distance. They're way behind schedule. You got to hurry it up. You talk straight. But in this, he talked, I thought, pretty harsh. But the truth is, he told them the truth. And I've been there, and there's several guys he didn't let in the program. And I said, well, Mickey, why did you not let them in? He said, they're not ready yet. He said, they'll fail. They're not ready. He said, Alan, you know why my success rate's so high here? I said, why? He said, because I don't let you in till you're ready. He said, that might sound hard, but that's the truth. He said, life will get you ready. He said, you might say no to it till you die, but it's trying to get you ready. He said, I just talk straight to people. When they're ready to say yes to God, I'm ready to give them God. But they got to be ready to say, see, he said, you can't talk somebody into sober. Said, you can't do it. Said, the only thing you can do is be there to give them the right answer when they ask the question. That's all you can do. Said, love people, help people. But I'm not bringing them into this program till they're ready. Because I know it'll destroy the program. Said, there's more people out there that's ready than we can look after. So I'm not going to take up a spot where somebody's just going to cry around, ain't ready yet. So that might sound hard, but that's the truth. You can ask Ron Ross. That's true. Me and Ron both thought he's a little hard. But I think we both found out he's probably right. Now, so anyway, how did I get off on that? There we go. Now, it's all about alignment. What are you aligning yourself with? The question, now watch this. I had a person, I actually sent this to him last night. No, excuse me, I sent it this morning about 3:30, 4 o'clock. That was last night, and yesterday too, I don't know. But I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I was trying to study for this morning, and all of a sudden I got this thing. And I was getting it about alignment and all of that, and I was trying to put all this together this morning, and all of a sudden I just stopped and I sent this to this person. I said, it's about alignment. The question is not do I have a demon, but does a demon have me? I had people all the time say, well, I got a demon. I said, well, I don't know. The question is, does a demon have you? That's what the question is. The question is not, do I have God, but does God have me? Amen. Now, what I want you to see here, there's a common denominator in those two. It is not, do I have joy, but does joy have me? It's not, do I have life, but does life have me? It is not, do I have God's kingdom, but does God's kingdom have me? You see, we're so concerned about what we have. For some reason, we're way too heavy-handed and thinking it's about us. And what we have. Now follow me here. This is like three or four dimensions underneath. Please follow me. The question is not, do I have God's kingdom, but does God's kingdom have me? It's not that, do I have life, does life have me? It's not, do I have joy, does joy have me? It's not that I have God, does God have me? The question is not, do I have a demon, but does a demon have me? The question is, to whom will I surrender? If you surrender to God, listen, I'd rather for God to have me as me have God. When I have God, I have just limited Him. I have limited God with my concept of who He is. I can only ask and walk with Him based on my concept of who He is. When He has me, come on, somebody, it's all on the table. When God has me, everything changes. Are y'all prophetically trying to, y'all getting what is somebody, I hope you're getting more than I'm saying. The question is, who do you surrender to? Well, only thing I can tell you, I don't know if you have a demon or not, but if you surrendered to that demon of alcohol, smoking, or whatever the addiction is, if you surrendered to that thing, yeah, well, I don't know if you've got it, but I guarantee you one thing, it's got you. Some people have got a little bit of God, but some people, God don't have them. Why? You got God, but does God have you? You see, that to answer that, you can't do partial. When you surrender, you give up. Are you with me?
Yes.
My goodness, it's 18 minutes after 10 o'clock, and I hadn't got y'all to the first angel again. Is everybody with me?
Yes.
It's not about what you've got. It's about who's got you. That's the reason I tell people you can't lose your salvation because you didn't get it to start with. That's right. Y'all can talk to me after church if you want to. Listen to me. If you've surrendered to Jesus, He's got you. It's not based on you or your theology. I don't care what it is. I've talked to everybody. I don't care. It's not based on your theology. It's based on who's got you. Is the demon got you or has He got you? If He's got you, He ain't going to throw you away. Now, there's a time or two as He's taking you through the bramble bushes you wished He would, but He won't. Not if you surrendered to Him. Now, this is important when we cover this thing called hope. Yeah, I'll move off of that one. Alignment makes supernatural hope possible. Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. You got to see me here. You got to see me here. Now, what in the world does that mean? When you have surrendered to the kingdom of God, you say, well, Alan, how do I know if I've surrendered? Listen, well, here's what you do. You surrender all you know. That's all. Have you given your life to Christ? Well, give Him all you know. Have you given Him all? Probably not. But you give Him all you know. You surrender all you know. Do you know how you know if you haven't surrendered a part to God? You'll feel shame. That's right. You'll feel shame. You'll feel ashamed. You feel shame. The results of not surrendering something is shame. You'll feel ashamed. I don't know where that can come from. Y'all can have it now. It says this in Romans. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we persevere, we wait eagerly for it. When we align ourselves with heaven, you don't align yourself with what you see. You're going to align yourself with what you don't see. Now please hear me right here. We, as a church and as a people of God, we're not hoping for enough. Our hope is too small. The world, listen, y'all, we ain't hoping near big enough. There's a lot of need out here. We put these prayer pods back here. Do you want to know what a big chance we went on? Hoping that God's going, but that's okay. We're going to hope big. We're going to hope God will heal anything. Save anybody. Heal. Come on, I dare you get one of them prayer pods if you're sick. Why? We're going to hope. Listen, We're going to hope we might put them in the parking lot. I don't know. We're going to keep hoping. We're not hoping big enough. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? Our hopes get bigger when we're in alignment with the kingdom of heaven. We're hoping way too small. So I know that our hopes aren't aligned. I mean, when you hope with heaven, it's impossible. That's all. It just can't be done. That's how you do a hope test. When you're hoping for something that's possible, that's not hope. You can see it right there. It says it. That ain't hope. We're talking about supernatural hope that comes because I've aligned with heaven. And when, listen, there's a little old something in here. I don't know. It kind of looks like a set of scales. It'll kind of tip the other way. When you start getting it, that you leave the side of your brain that's the flesh and that's reason. I mean, Lord God, help us. There ain't nothing in this book reasonable. I mean, people say, well, Al, I want to preach. I want to do it reasonably. I'm like, oh, my gosh, we're not reading the same book. Have you read the book? Listen, if you come here to be reasonable, you're at the wrong crowd. There's nothing in here reasonable. A whale swallows a man. Come on, somebody. And we're supposed to believe it as the truth. And I know some people try to figure out it's not. That's okay. I believe it did. The book is unreasonable. So, when we align with heaven and the kingdom of God, it's a short distance. You just cut the crap. You cut it. You quit it. You align yourself with heaven. It's short and she's sweet and she's real. And when we do that, it's going to be the most unreasonable thing you ever heard in your life. Because man can't do it. Only God can do it. Does anybody want to sign up for that kind of church? Listen, if we're not going to do that kind of church, I'm going home, milk cows, and plant corn. This book, listen, church, for the most part, this book has not been tested and tried. We've tested and tried a little of it. Only thing I'm asking is, let's move her up a level. Let's get our alignment right with heaven. Let's get straight with God. Let's get straight up with God. Come on. A lot of us got a lot of straightening up to do with God. Let's just do it. Let's totally surrender and give over. Let's surrender. Let's let God truly have it. That's just like I told people Wednesday night. When God starts moving in a service or what, you don't have to help Him. All of a sudden, everybody's spiritual gifts want to work. Listen, you need spiritual gifts when God's not in the house. It's Christ in you, and you're going to move and you get. When the Holy Spirit's here in power, shut up. Let Him move. He doesn't need your great wisdom. He needs your tremendous humility and prayer and love and watch Him move. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You for today, O God. I ask and pray, O God, if there's anything that I've said that's not of You, that it'll fall to the ground. And if there's anything that I've said, O God, teach us, show us today how to align with You and Your Spirit, that the downloads of the kingdom of God might hit this place. We ask for salvations. We ask for healings. Dear God, we ask for tremendous joy to be in Your people as we worship You. In Jesus' name.